Okay, hey, another week, WVLP 103.1 FM, and this is Porter County Butts with one of your hosts, Greg Sales, the other host on the other, I don't know where he is today. Japan?
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting one. Yeah, I just came home from the Super Bowl, went straight to Japan.
Well, yeah, that sounds good. That's indie music, by the way. Yeah, no, this is good. And I'm keeping our ears open if we hear the door banging. We had a guest scheduled, but for whatever reason, he hasn't shown up yet, and we'll see what happens. But so we'll play it by ear. But anyways.
We've had that before where a guest, or I have showed up late and you added me in on a show late.
That's true, actually, yeah.
I remember getting that call while I was grocery shopping, and it's Greg going, where are you at? We're recording now. I was like, oh my goodness, let me finish my shopping. I'll be right out. So, yeah.
I know you love that Dollar General. I know.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, for you guys that live in those small towns, that's the only shopping you've got is the Dollar General. There you go.
Listen, Greg, are you just trying to tease us? Because you know Burns Harbor doesn't even have a Dollar General. Yeah, yeah. We got a fireworks store, but no DG yet. There is rumor, though, and I don't know. Yeah, it happened in a public meeting. So Burns Harbor being approached by the owner of the Taco Bell. The Taco Bell, again, from what I gathered, and I'm not 100% sure, but he owns the one in Chesterton and the one in Portage over by Oh, goodness, I can't think of where the port is over there. But where all that warehousing is over there in Portage off of 249. And I guess he wants to build another Taco Bell right next to the car dealership, Bozak Toyota dealership. So they approached the plan commission and they're working through that process. So we might get a first chain restaurant in town.
Your first Mexican restaurant. Yes.
Yeah. There you go. And I think we need to thank our sponsors. I don't know. I can't remember if we did that.
Yeah, we didn't. And I've got a meeting with them tonight. It's the Independent Order of Fellows, Chequick Lodge number 56 in good old downtown Valparaiso, and celebrating 176 years in Valparaiso.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. It is kind of hard to fathom sometimes. And yeah. And tonight I changed chairs in the group, and I'll be in charge of it for another year, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, so are you the, what would be the title? Is that the Grand Poombah? Noble Grand. Okay.
It was that one, yeah. Noble Grand.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, congratulations. I guess you did a good job if they're letting you do it again.
No, well, what I mean by doing it again, I was gone for a few years. And then nobody else wanted to step up, and we had to keep things going. So that's just to be honest. That happens in a lot of organizations. You get to say, well, and I'll say in this case, unfortunate, because we've got a lot of other people that could step up if they wanted to. But no, it just doesn't work that way sometimes. So we're looking for other people. So if anyone out there wants to be a part of it, I know I was at AM Valpo, the chamber, once a month, has a coffee at Barnes & Noble's the first Wednesday of the month at 7 a.m. And the Oddfellows actually sponsored the coffee last week. So whoever showed up got a coffee or a tea or whatever the heck they wanted. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's actually a really neat deal. It's anyone that's a member of the chamber, or I imagine people can just sneak in. You know, it's open to the public. It's not like it's
right
close. And they just give a 30-second spiel about something their work, like them, is work related. So like if somebody has a printing company, they might say, hey, our company is ABC Printers, and this week we've got a great deal on, you know, postcards or something, and car repair. And
oh, it sounds like a great networking opportunity to get out and meet other business owners.
That's exactly what it is. And now that I think about it, you know, since, you know, I mean, it's members that go, but if you just wanted to hear people in the community and see some business, hear some businesses, little pitches or whatever. Yeah.
And I noticed Portage, the Chamber of Portage does that too, because I just saw, and maybe theirs isn't a breakfast, maybe there's some kind of lunch. They do something similar where they get together once a month. And I know the Doolin Chamber does too. So no matter really where you're at, if you want to get involved, there's a lot of different ways to get involved with the chambers in our area too. And you can learn a lot of information from them. I mean, you really can.
Right. To be a member of that city, like, there's a lot of people that are in a Valpo city, the chamber, their businesses in the city of Valparaiso. So,
yeah.
And, yeah. So if you're thinking about it, just to fly in, there's a lot of networking opportunities that we've talked about. And after hours things, and they have little cocktail parties, you know, throughout the year. And they had a group.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially established business, but even people getting into it, you know, it's a great opportunity to meet the other business leaders in the community, which is nice to know too. You know, like you mentioned, if I need a printer, okay, I can go on this website and order it from a national chain, or if I know someone local does just as good a job and maybe the price is really comparable, I'm going to go local, you know?
Right. Yeah. Things not on. I thought I had the, there we go. Why isn't it sounding today?
he took away your ability.
Well, pretty funny. Pretty fun. Man, but what else? Yeah, Super Bowl yesterday.
Yeah.
The team I wanted to win didn't quite win, but that's okay. It was a good game. I mean, I have no problem with the Chiefs. I just like seeing different teams win. You know, I get to see the same team over and over. But
yeah, my whole thing with the Super Bowl game was the only thing I cared about really was my Super Bowl squares, which none of them hit. So I was out money. So I picked, you know, if one of my teams or a team I like isn't in the Super Bowl, I'm going to pick the opposite team of Aiden. So Aiden's my oldest son, 16. Whatever team he picked, and he went with San Francisco last night, I'll tell you, I was a huge Chiefs fan, just so I can root against him.
What a good father you have.
Yes. Oh, we got to have that competition. My dad was rooting for the 49ers, too. I had mom and dad came over, and my sister. So it was a nice little time last night. And actually, all the kids, except for Adley, the youngest, the other three kids all had friends over, so they got to be entertained and not bugging me. But I'm in the base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were rooting for, what's her
Taylor?
Name?
Yeah. Taylor.
They were Swifting. They were fans of the Swiftie.
Yeah.
Boyfriend. Yeah.
Well, Abriella, my daughter, had the shirt on, you know, I forget how it was worded, but I'm sure you saw it all over Facebook. There was different versions of it, but let's go Taylor's boyfriend or however the wording was, but it was awesome.
Yeah. How millions of dollars are made by Taylor Swift and football when, you know, I mean, how many people bought shirts like that just because of Taylor Swift?
And I saw Blythe Sports Shop in Valpo was printing them. And they must have sold so many because they had to do a second run. So you're right. Yeah, they were generating revenue off this too, you know. So it's cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think about it too. Think of all the local businesses, the restaurants that made a ton of money, especially the pizza places and the wings. They were really.
The Jewel had an area set up just to dispense the chicken wings and all that stuff throughout the day. They set up a separate area. Yeah, it's gonna be a big boom for the economy.
Right, Aaron, I know it's America. Yeah, and you wonder, well, they probably can't figure out a way to measure that kind of impact, but we know it definitely does. Because a lot of people wouldn't, you know, they can self-report it. How would you self-report? You know, yeah, I made it.
Right.
Bought three pizzas last week and they were specifically for the Super Bowl, or bought chicken from Kentucky Fried or the Walmart or
Jewel. We bought that $13 giant cookie, the football cookie. I was like, Roseanne, that was $13? He's like, yeah, we got to have the giant cookie, though. That's just a good one.
Well, yeah, and then you talk about those shirts, and then how many, I'm sure there's people, a number of hats out there and other paraphernalia, not to mention the team stuff, you know, the 40 specific and the Chiefs stuff. So, yeah, kind of cool.
Have you ever seen those? So, you know, they print the shirts as if both teams win. So once they win, you know, they can hand them out the shirt. But have you ever seen, like, down in the South America or African countries, they shipped some of the old stuff from the 90s there, like this earthquake in Dallas. So, you know, it's the San Francisco 49ers won, but the Dallas lost or whatever, and they'll all have Dallas championship shirts on. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they still do that, but you're right. They used to do that. And right, it's sending them way, way out to where. But nowadays, yeah, with social media and everything, it seems like everyone around the planet knows, well, football.
Well, yeah.
So you right. wonder if they would, you know, not want them now because they would know better and say, hey, I know the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I
was yeah, don't pull the wool over my eyes. What's the huh? No, really, cotton. Don't pull the cotton over my eyes.
But, yeah, oh, man. That is a good thing. You know, if they still do it, that's really good because what a waste that would be. You know, because otherwise, yeah, what do you do with all those shirts that you
yeah.
don't need?
Right.
So, you know, it's not like they got a printing press under the stadium and, hey, the third quarter team's up by 25. They're not going to lose. Let's print those. Yeah. No.
Right. It's nothing for last night's game because, I mean, my goodness, you didn't know till the end.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, and that's always good. You know, it's good for the sponsors. Can you imagine you've got
yeah.
a fourth quarter ad and the game's a blowout and everybody turned the TV off or something else.
Now, right.
You know, everybody went, the last few have gone down to the last few minutes. So it's been a, you know, stuff.
Yeah, it's more fun.
Game. Yeah. Yeah. Unless
you're, it really is.
Unless your team is on the losing end, then it's not so
cool. Well, yeah, that's true.
But no, it's all good. All good.
So what'd you do for Super Bowl?
Actually, I was at home. I watched the game. I was in Wisconsin earlier with the goats and then came back and everybody was gone. So I'm like, oh, okay, this works.
Quiet.
The dog and I had a nice time just kind of relaxing. And I was doing some stuff on the computer. So took care of some business things. So that was all good.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, that's a nice relax. I don't like going to a big Super Bowl party because I want to actually watch the commercials. I'm there for the commercials. So
people are on there for the commercials, but yeah. And our guest just showed up.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Do you want to pause the show real quick and we'll get back on?
No. And you know what? I just realized that, were you hearing me fine? Because I had the wrong microphone turned on.
So that's scary, but I heard you.
Okay, good. Well, here this is WVLP 103.1 FM, Porter County Buzz, and one of your hosts, Greg Sims, the other host, Andy Bozak on the other end. He's in Japan. He was in with the Super Bowl, and then he flew to Japan. And
oh, really? So yeah, he's just trying to do the reverse Taylor.
Yeah. Yes, and he's trying to be swift about it, but it's not working too well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here, wait, how... Oh, wrong one. Wrong one.
One of them have got to be it.
Yeah, there's a stupid drum beat there somewhere, but I can't find it. But anyways, hey, well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, my sincere apologies for being late. I had a meeting go late, and I was just buzzing down here, so.
Oh, buzzing thanks. To the Porter County Buzz.
Yeah, well, that wasn't even an intentional pun, but I'm glad it worked.
So tell everybody who you are, what you do, and...
Well, I used to tell people I'm the Valpo Life guy, and sort of broadened out a little bit through the years, so I can't say that anymore, but now I just say I'm the Great News Life guy. We started about almost 15 years ago. Next month, it'll be 15 years.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It only feels like 45.
That's okay. Andy's 60. He doesn't feel like 38. 60. Yeah.
I thought you were older than that, Andy.
You know, I could.
So no, just started this 15 years ago in Valpo, then we expanded to Portage, and then the Port County a couple years after that, and then Lake County with NWI a couple years after that, and then late this spring, early summer, we launched in Michiana for South Bend, Mishawak, St. Joe County, everything out there, and it was based on a very just simple premise, like let's focus on the positive and probably just grow from there.
And your office is in a log cabin.
Yeah, it's a little non-traditional, sort of like focusing on the positive news. It's not exactly the norm.
Daniel Boone lives there, yes.
Yeah, we were in downtown Valpo on Napoleon Street for quite a while. We started above my garage, just in a bedroom, spare bedroom above my garage, where our first handful of people worked for a while. And then we moved into downtown Valpo and Napoleon for quite a few years. And then when we were going to be moving from there, I thought, okay, maybe we're 5 years old or something at the time, 6 years old. And I said, okay, we should try to be like a real company and maybe get like a serious office space. And
yeah.
It should be like professional and fancy and all that kind of stuff. And then a friend of mine had that log cabin for rent, and he called me up and he's like, hey, I know this is not the way you're going, but like, you know, this log cabin. I'm like, well, I'll try it. I'll come out and look at it. And as soon as I went there, I was like, this is home, Mike. And I envisioned the camp life concept. And now we got a big, like, you know, state park kind of sign up front that says camp life. And we obviously take a lighter tone towards most news, and it's the kind of place that maybe it's made for that.
See, and I thought maybe you were going to say he was going to get you to be in a van down by the river.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a few vans, I'm sure.
If I don't pay my rent, maybe he would.
So when you guys started 15 years ago, was it a digital company, or did you guys start out print, or how did you guys start in the math?
Just started digitally and stayed digital. I grew up on the floor of the trading floors in Chicago, so like the board and the Merck and Dam and other exchanges. So I was always around information distribution, sort of bringing it together. I wasn't a trader.
Oh.
I basically was involved in the information that they used to trade. So I paid a lot of attention to news, but it was more like Dow Jones News or Bloomberg or Reuters or...
Or Tom Skilling with WGN.
More financial market stuff, you know. They're more about crude oil prices or yen quotes. And then when I moved out here, I wanted to learn everything I possibly could about the area. So I said, okay, I'm going to read the papers. I'm going to listen to the radio. I'm going to watch TV. Mm-hmm. There was a news show at the time. And I said, I just want to learn everything about the area because I'm not from here. I grew up in Chicago, but met a Valpo girl 33 years ago. And that's what ultimately brought me here.
Sucked you in and never left.
You know, she was cute. She smiled and I was hooked forever.
Not to get off track real quick, but what neighborhood, what part of Chicago were you from?
I born in Oak Park.
Okay.
Spent a little time as a little kid in Franklin Park. Then Palatine, then Barrington, then Naperville.
Oh, okay.
Always working in and around the city.
Yeah.
But live in various parts.
Gotcha. Yeah. My father's from Oak Park, so yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Roosevelt and, was it First Avenue? Somewhere near, but off of Roosevelt. But yeah. Anyways.
Is he still up there now?
No, he died several years
ago. He's passed.
Yeah, a long time ago. But he was born in 1917, so yeah.
Wow.
But anyways,
I met my wife from Valpo at the Board of Trade, and then we ended up moving out here.
Okay. I was going to ask that. How would you meet somebody from Valpo when you're from Chicago? But there you go.
I just got really lucky.
So was she a trader?
No. She came in, you'll either think this is corny as heck or adorable or, I don't know, something in between.
Andy will start crying. Andy, get the...
Yeah, get the pictures out. I was working in the marketing department for the Board of Trade. And one morning, a woman named Beth Hill walked around and said, hey, there's a new office assistant that's going to be working, and I'm going to introduce you to her later. And I said, oh, okay, whatever. I wasn't thinking about it. And she walked me by, and she's like, hi, Chris, this is Natalie. And I looked at her, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to marry this girl.
Wow.
And we were in like this little C-shaped office. And so as soon as she left me, I waited a second because she was walking around to meet this other guy that I worked with. And I gave her a minute or two and then I ran over there and I'm like, did you see her? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, did you see the girl? And he's like, oh yeah, Natalie, the new girl. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what are you so excited about? And I said, I'm going to marry that girl. He said, you're completely insane. And I said, true, but I'm definitely going to marry that girl. And I knew it in a heartbeat.
Now, how long did it take her to know that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you asked her today. She's really that convinced.
Well, you know, we could call this our Valentine's show because, you know, Valentine's is coming up this week. So what a cool story.
Yeah.
But that's what ultimately brought me to Valpo.
Okay.
Is meeting a cute Valpo girl all those years ago. And then when I came here, I'm an information hound. So I just wanted to read and watch and listen to everything. And particularly on the print side, I would think this is different from what I'm meeting. And I would go around and I'd meet tons of people, not just from Valpo, but a lot of people from the surrounding areas. And I would say, these people are nice. They're kind. They're patient. They're calmer than the people I'm used to in Chicago. There's a lot of giving. Schools are real important. Mm-hmm. Like local town is really important. And I would say, but this isn't what I'm reading. Like I'm meeting all these nice people, but what I'm reading in the paper sounds sort of like a dump.
Well, have you ever been where Andy is from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting a Taco Bell.
Yeah. Big progress.
Yeah, maybe.
But so no, I agree with you. I hear you.
See, there was a mismatch. Yeah. I was just meeting a lot of nice people, but I wasn't reading about them. Mm-hmm. So I, again, very naively, went to what used to be Adams Radio 1, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Lee Ellis back when he was there.
Yeah.
And then I went to Lakeshore TV, was doing newscast still at the time. And then I went to the Times in Munster. And I said, I'm not from here. I don't know anything about local news, but it seems like you're way over focused on the negative side. And it seems like you could have a show or a segment or a podcast or a video or a section of the paper that could just be positive.
Right.
And they laughed.
They laughed you out of the building.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. And security.
Yeah. I mean, the word naive, Pollyanna-ish, unrealistic.
Go back to Chicago, freak.
And so by the third meeting, I was discouraged, but then at the end of the third meeting, the guy that was the publisher at the Times, I credit him with the creation of Valpo Life.
Oh.
Bill Masterson was the guy, and he leaned across the table at the end after he told me like how ridiculous this notion was and how naive I was and how even if it were going to be accomplished, it sure wouldn't be accomplished by a guy like me.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
And then leaned across the table and said, but you know what, young man, you seem like you got a lot of energy. When that fails, why don't you come back and why don't you call me? I might hire you.
Give you a copy boy job.
Yeah. So
he's like, you can write mean articles for me.
Yeah. So I called my wife on the way home and I said, we're going to start a good news company online. And she said, since when? And I looked at my phone and I said, I don't know. I've been driving 6 minutes from Munster about then. And she said, what's the plan? And I said, well, honey, I just told you the plan. She's like, no, what's like the rest of the plan?
Like the rest of the story.
Like, we're going to risk our whole lives on this. Like, is there something more? And I was like, well, I'll figure that all out later.
And you know that spare bedroom over the garage? Well, yeah. we're gonna use that as the office.
Yeah, yeah. So I think immediately she wanted me to live in the spare bedroom, coming up with this idea. And then eventually she let us host the office there.
Was she a writer? Were you a writer before this? Is that...
I've always been a writer, but not in a very formal sense. I was like, I used to, real schmaltzy, I used to write poems as a kid for my mom.
Roses on Island or Blue.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So I always loved creative writing, but I'm not a writer by trade. And I would fail the test miserably if you asked, who's the one in Valpo Life that really makes sure that the grammar's right and punctuation's right? It's definitely not me. as you can already tell, I talk way too much. And I'll say 70 or 80 word sentences that, you know, no periods, no punctuation. So, but I've learned to be a better writer, not a good writer.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
So what was your first story?
The actual first story was, is anybody interested in this? Because I was trying to make light of the fact that everyone, whether it's my attorney, my accountant, my friends, my family, everybody I asked about it, like, there's no one that said, you know what? That's a great idea. You got to do that, buddy. So the first article was actually like, is there going to be anybody interested in this?
Hello.
Yeah. Is anybody out there? And we learned that there were, but when you first start out, again, there's a million things I was naive about. One of which was, I figured, okay, well, who's going to have a lot of good news to share that doesn't want to probably spend any money sharing it? And I thought, okay, the faith community.
Hmm.
It's real vibrant.
Yeah.
A lot of different churches, a lot of different organizations, moms groups, teen groups. So I said, well, I'll give all those people a free, all positive way to share their information.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go crazy for it. And obviously, if all the people at the churches love it, then everybody will love it. So I write this, and again, maybe it's me as a bad writer, but I write this, what I thought was really eloquent note, and I sent it to every pastor, every head of a faith community.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you could send us your bulletin, you can send us your youth meeting notes, you could send us any events you're doing, fundraisers, whatever it is. You could send it to us and it doesn't cost you anything. You do it for free. We'll do it right away. And it's going to be in an all positive environment. So you don't have to worry about that information being right next to the axe murderer story. And we sent it out via email. I sent out that we found 50, believe it or not, faith organizations in and around Valpo, which was awesome to me. I was like, wow, this is a really robust faith community. So we connected to all of them, sent them an email, sent them a physical mail, and got zero responses.
No.
And I was like, okay, I can't give free news away. And there's no subscription for the product either. So I was like, okay, I can't give it away. There's no subscribers. All these people were right. But then you stick in there a while, and I ended up going sometimes door to door, literally to go to talk to a pastor and say,
oh,
you realize like you could just send us your bulletin and then there's positive stuff we could pull from that. And this was 15 years ago. So some of them weren't as familiar with, you know, online and production technology. And I remember talking to one of the early priests and he said, well, I'm sorry, I couldn't help you because we only have this in print.
Yeah.
And okay. I said, well, you realize it was an electronic form before it got to print. So I just need that file. No, we just have it in print. It's not electronic. And I was like, okay, this is going to take me a little longer than I thought.
It's an education piece too.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
But, you know, I went into it super naive, way in over my head. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And probably lucky or unlucky, whatever you want to think of it, I didn't know enough not to do it.
Mm.
And now that it's, you know, 15 years later, I'm glad.
Okay.
But if I would have known how challenging it is, I probably would have never done it.
Mm.
So sometimes you're better off knowing and sometimes you're better off not knowing.
Right. Well, it was interesting too that you said a lot of your family and friends were like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you
know,
and
well,
you still did it.
I had done fine in the first half of my life, and it was all everything I had done for the most part, couple stints here or there outside of it, but everything I had done for the most part was in the financial markets.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly you're going to trade like yen prices for Boys and Girls Club pictures. It's just a whole different world.
Right.
And, but I love it. You know, I'm personally happy because every day I get up, I look at my phone, and there's a bunch of people that have sent us good news.
Okay.
It's hard to be really down every single day when people send you sometimes dozens of things a day that positively happened. And even if you're in a bad mood and then you see two or five or 10 of those, you're like, I probably actually got a smile. Like I really can't be mad anymore. There's a lot of good around us.
Like a Taco Bell going to Burns Harbor.
Yeah.
Just like that. That's
Mexican
restaurant. Big news.
One of the things I love about it is your, and I don't know if it's called community spotlights. I know you guys, I forget the term, but life, you guys highlight. There you go.
Life in the spotlight.
I think that is so cool. You take members of the community that are doing good things and highlight what they're doing. And I've learned a lot from that and a lot about people. So can you expand, like, what made you guys do that? And then How do you do it? How do you pick people? Like, how did that happen?
Believe it or not, that idea came from Brandon Vickery, who is now the sports information director for VU.
And oh, really?
It came when he was, I believe, 14 years old.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I got introduced to him through a journalism contact at Portage High School. He was a really enterprising young man, worked for their newspaper, worked for their TV radio program, worked announcing games, all kinds of stuff. He's just a fabulous young man. And I said, okay, great. I want to hire more students. I want to, you know, bring more young people into this. And I said, you know, I want to start doing these community spotlights, whatever we're going to call them. I think we used to call them, actually in the very beginning, I'll give you a little controversy here. We called them Life That Matters. And my point of it was, there's a lot of people that aren't the mayor or the head of the council or, you know, some people are not as big as county council members. I know you guys don't relate to that. Like, you guys are the Taylor Swift kind of people. But there's some of us that actually have to sit in the regular seats.
Yeah. Believe me, Andy sits in a regular seat.
I sit in a lot of regular seats.
But I wanted to just do the spotlight. We called it Life That Matters. And then after maybe a year or so of doing it, somebody really got on us and they said, so are you saying if you haven't profiled the person, that means they don't matter? And I was like, that's what I was meaning. No, I was meaning, if we haven't profiled them, they're stupid. That's what I meant. So that was one of my first educations of dealing with the public and sensitivity to communications. But we changed it to Life in the Spotlight. But I'll give all the credit to Brandon.
Yeah, it's so cool.
He was the one that sort of began putting these out and developed. We literally built not just Life in the Spotlight, the series around that. We actually then said, how do we go get more Brandons? And we started a program called Number One Student. And we now have 32 currently. We've had as many as 35, 36, but we have 32 high school kids that are paid to write every month about their high school. So they're from Lake, Porter, LaPorte, and St. Joe County. And 32 of them every year. We've probably had 200 kids go through that program. And it gives them a chance to, they write a teacher spotlight, a student spotlight, a past event that had happened that's awesome, and something coming up that's awesome. And they write it once a month and they're paid to do it. But the great thing for the kids is then they're published. So they go to apply for college and they say, well, yeah, I wrote for this local news publication and here's my 10 links. Or if they've written for 2 years, here's my 20 links of stuff that I've gotten published.
Well, you call it a local news publication, but soon it sounds like it's going to be national.
I would like it to be national.
He's walking on that path.
When I started it, I figured we'd be to where we got in 15 years, probably in three. So I thought we would be a half a dozen or two states by now, but we'll get there eventually.
Well, but we're podcasting all over, so maybe people hearing this
next,
will take you on.
Next up for us is Michiana. Obviously, we'll keep expanding in Indiana. Indy's probably 2 years away for us.
Wow.
And then we'll go a little bit west with Illinois. But yeah, there's no reason the model itself couldn't work anywhere. And what's interesting to me is 15 years ago, this may have been ahead of its time. I don't understand why there's nobody else doing it today. And I'm not aware of anybody that's doing it actively anywhere.
Wow.
And to me, that's discouraging about media because it tells me that people still think you can't focus on the good and be successful doing it. And it's definitely easier. It's for sure. I could walk out of here and make a post that Andy and Greg are the dumbest people I've ever met in my whole entire life. And I've met a lot.
Thanks a lot.
And it would get tons and tons and tons of traffic. If I walk out of here and I say, these guys are pretty good guys and I like what they're doing on the radio, I'll get 10 likes.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you're right.
You got to work a little harder if you're on the positive side to get the same kind of impact, but you can get it.
Yeah.
Now, what I was going to say is so amazing to me is that, you know, I don't know, probably 8 years ago, I started noticing you guys were everywhere. You saw Valpo Live, you saw NW, I mean, just whatever the terms were at the time. But I was like, who is this organization and why are they at every event taking photos? But it was positive. Then I would see them online. I was like, oh, okay. And then I think you introduced yourself to me after I won an election and asked me to follow the page. And I didn't. I was like, this is a really cool thing you guys are doing. And now it's like everywhere. I mean, you guys are huge. And now in Michiana or coming to Michiana, it's mind blowing that you're able to take all this information and handle it and put it out there for people to read and still continue to grow.
Yeah, to give you an indication of how it's grown, like we do graduations is a big thing for us. We cover every high school and college graduation across the area that we serve. So when we come on to that season, like last year, I think we did 54.
Wow.
Wow.
And they're all done within a 3-week period, not even two and a quarter week period.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine how popular you are with your staff when you say, hey, we've got 11 graduations on Sunday. Who wants to work?
Yeah.
But again, it's a lot of fun. You guys have both gone to graduations. It's a great experience. It's a fun time. Those kids are celebrating moving on to the next chapter of their lives. Their parents are amazed that they actually got here. You know, but it's the stuff we're at. You're never having a bad time. Mm-hmm. You're at a youth music concert or you're at a basketball game or you're at the popcorn parade or, you know.
Well, you guys are at every 5K that goes on in the community.
Yeah, which we try to be, but it's enjoyable. Like, I'm never coming to interview you and grilling you on, you know, what the council did wrong. We'll do an article on what the council got right.
Yeah. Well, and that's when Andy and I, when we chose to do the show, that was basically our premises.
Keep it fun and
positive. You know, we'll stay away from controversy.
You got a dumb Republican and a dumb Democrat, and we make a really sick. Which is which, Greg?
So what you're saying is you found the common denominator, and it's dumb.
Yeah.
No, yes, but I love the premise that you guys did this because you got a Democrat and a Republican and you're having a great time doing it and you jab each other back and forth.
Yeah.
But it just shows you people can get along.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be polar. I just did an interview a couple hours ago with Brian Snedecor, who was the mayor of Hobart, and Josh Huddleston, who is the mayor of Hobart. Brian was a Democrat, moved over to the Republican side a couple of years ago. Josh is a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And these two guys absolutely love each other. Mm. I mean, Brian helped mentor Josh. Josh has deep respect for Brian.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should be showing the examples
of. I love hearing that,
Some of the stuff that happens, particularly nationally, but some of the stuff that happens, you guys have seen plenty of it. It's not what we teach our kids.
Right.
We teach our kids, don't bully people on the playground in second grade. Sometimes adults don't listen to that advice and we're bullying people around and we're like 50 years old. You know.
Yeah.
Listen, no, you're 100% right. Right.
And I think if we all listen to the stuff that we're telling our kids, we might be better off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, the notion of compromise or, you know, someone doesn't have to win all the time they just don't, you know.
I was just going to say, at
a local level, especially, there's so much that you decide that is not a Democratic or Republican thing. Like, I'm pretty sure roads are a fairly large focus of the county.
Yes.
And I don't really know which roads are Republican and which roads are Democrat.
It's easy. The ones with the potholes are Republican. That's easy. That's
what I was going to say, because I looked up on Google Maps and it tells me, like, do you want to go with tolls or without tolls?
The freeways are Democrat.
Got it.
Oh, gosh, Greg. like a dog.
No, but you're 100% correct, and we've talked about that before too. It's like even some positions in office, like a sheriff.
Yeah.
Why does a sheriff have to be, or a coroner?
Coroner.
That's the one.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that person dead? Well, I don't know. Let me ask a Democrat.
Well, if it's a dead Democrat, we can't touch it. We can only touch, because I'm a Republican, and, you know, we can only.
Yeah. Well, if it's a dead, if it's one or the other, depending on what side you're on, you might not want to count the fact that the person has passed, because maybe you can still vote.
Absolutely.
Hey, you guys are from Chicago. We can't do that here in Indiana.
I came from Chicago, where you vote early and often.
Oh, that's awesome.
But no, you're exactly right. You know, it's I've always, like, when I was downstate, it was what can we do to make the state better? What can we do? I remember one of my first experiences. I was up in I stayed at the Columbia Club, which was an awesome place there, and I think it was a third or fourth floor, had a bar area, and I'm on the elevator, and one of the guys says, "Hey, if you want to come to the bar," you know, I'm like, "Okay, I had nothing to do." So we go in there, and there were a lot of Republicans in there, and they had not met me yet. So we're talking and stuff, and I sit down at this table, and it was the IU-Purdue basketball game was on. So we're all just watching the game and talking in the meantime, and someone looks at me and says, "You're from the region?" "Yeah." "And you're one of them?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. What is a one of them?" And I quickly realized what he was saying, but I figured, let's hear him say it.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Yeah, one of those Democrats." I said, "We're sitting here talking, and this has been good." And he goes, "Yeah, you're," and he goes, "You're not an a-hole, you know?"
No.
And I was like, and I said, "Oh, so we can sit down and both enjoy stuff going on in the state." And he goes, "Absolutely." I go, "Well,
yeah,
you know, that's exactly what we're doing." And I saw them later on. It was kind of funny, and it was good. But it was, again, the same thing. It was people helping the people who do stuff for the people, you know?
Yeah.
Not just the one group or the other group, but I wonder if that attitude is still there, though. You know, I mean, because this was when 2007, 2008. I know people have flipped out of the house, you know, and new people came in. And I don't know if the mentality is worse, better, you know, I don't know.
I've asked quite a few people over the last couple of weeks, do you feel like the next 7, 8, 9 months, whatever it's going to be until the election this year, do you feel like the rest of this year is going to be more divisive or less divisive?
Oh, what are they saying?
Every person says it's going to be more divisive.
Oh.
What I ask
them to follow. That's what I assume too.
Yeah. I've never had anybody that says it's going to be less. But then my question is, are the extremes the majority or the minority?
Right.
There you go.
And most everybody says they're the minority.
Mm-hmm.
So why does the majority, if we're in the middle, center, whatever you want to call it, why do we allow things to be as divisive as they are if we're the majority? So, yes.
We're the nice ones, that's why.
Yeah, because, but shouldn't the nice folks rise up
and
tell the people that are throwing bombs on the left and right, hey, cut it out.
Yeah.
Shut up, yeah.
Yeah, like we actually don't want to hate everybody. We don't want to fight with everybody.
Right.
You know, we're in the city
You're
of
right.
people. Right yeah. now, the council and Costas mm-hmm. are trying very hard mm-hmm. to like work together and get things done.
Right.
They're not going in throwing bombs. Maybe they will in a month. I have no idea.
TBD.
but right now they're not. And I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Is it going to go perfect forever? Obviously, you guys have a lot of experience in government. You see plenty of things that mm-hmm. That could go wrong on either side.
Right.
But we don't have to allow it to be that way. Like we could go back to what our mom said, which is if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Right.
We could go back and listen to what our parents told us and said, don't bully people on the playground. Well, don't do that in a commissioner's meeting.
Right.
Don't do that in a council meeting.
Right.
Don't do that on your Facebook page. Don't do that, you know.
Yeah. Keep it positive.
Put yourself in those other people's shoes. What would it feel like to you? You know, so many times the conversations I have with my kids, just think about the feeling that you would get if this was towards you, and how would you act and react, and, you know, base your actions now on what you're doing going forward. on potential to try to keep the peace, you know, the high school drama they deal with is the same stuff that we deal with in the politics.
Yeah. And I think when you look at kids, you're saying, okay, well, that's a high school drama situation. There's a teenager with a out fully developed mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're adults. Our minds are, yeah, there's no excuses. Like, we got to just behave like nice people. And I look at it very similarly from a work ethic standpoint, or how hard you're going to work at whatever you're going to do. If you go to a chamber lunch, mm-hmm. and there's 200 people sitting around that lunch, how many of them work as hard as a JV basketball player?
Right. Yeah.
Very, very few. Right. And even if you guys are at that chamber lunch, mm-hmm. I still don't think the percentage is really high. And we're all paid to be there.
Yeah.
We all have a job to go, you know, do. And why wouldn't we be working as hard as like the eighth man on the basketball team that doesn't get a chance to play much, but he's working his tail off all season long just for a chance to play?
Right.
We're all paid to do it. And so I think if adults behaved according to the standards they communicated their kids, to their kids, the world would be a much nicer place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, and there's no doubt about it. There's so much anger and tension, road rage, you know.
And it doesn't help anything. Like, I look at it and all the angst people have about stuff, mm-hmm. and angst is about the least productive form of energy you could expend because it doesn't do anything. You feel bad. You make the person against you feel bad, and nothing gets accomplished. So you get two bads, no good. That's a terrible trade,
mm-hmm.
back from my financial market world, where if you can take the emotion out of it and some of that pride out of it and say, ultimately, what are we trying to get done? Do we have some commonality to it? And even if we don't, let's just agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say you're a jagoff and you don't have to say I'm a cretin. Like, mm-hmm. we could actually just be two adults with different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it's gotten such that, well, if you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, you must be evil. Or vice versa. And
me and Greg have both had doors slammed in our face where I went up and I said, hey, I'm the Republican candidate, and nope. Yeah. You know, and vice versa. Yeah. You're 100% right. They don't even want to hear it. Some people are just so blinded by that partisanship that they don't even care, you know, to hear you out.
Yeah.
I would bet that both of you have been asked by somebody at one point, why are you doing that show with him? With each other. Like, there's probably people that are like, what are you doing that show with the Republican guy?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel sorry for him sometimes, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's why you're a Democrat. You've got more feelings for other people.
Well,
now, Andy is a Republican. Yeah. You should just hang up on him.
Yeah. But he drives a nicer car, so that makes him a Republican, too. That nice black SUV with pink striping on the side.
Yeah.
Oh.
Son of a gun.
This is Barbie's pump.
Well, what's so cool, and what you guys kind of talked about a little bit earlier, is, I mean, locally, the Democrats and Republicans, we all have those same goals when you talked about the roads. You know, we just have, and it's not even a Democrat or Republican view, it's just people thinking there's a different way to accomplish the same goals. And those conversations happen. So really, on a local level, I don't really understand why we have to choose a party, a Democrat or a Republican, because we're all working together and it just really divides us more.
How many, are you married?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're married, Andy?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever had a difference of opinion with your wife?
No, I'm married. I'm still married, but I disagree with her. You know, but for real, yes.
My point being is that's the person that's nearest and dearest to you in your whole life. And every once in a while, like, we've been married 30 years. I know we fought at least twice today. But the point is, you're going to have disagreements, and you don't just say, well, deuces, you don't like where I left my socks, so it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You actually, like, work it out. And I think that's, you know, there's a lot of examples of it. I think the media focuses too much on the ones where we're fighting. The people watch and listen and click too much about the ones where people are fighting. And I think the only way we really can change it as consumers is if the people say, no, I'm going to see that racy headline and I'm not going to click on it.
Right.
I'm not going to go to that group or page or whatever it is that stirs stuff up all the time. I'm going to just choose not to. And people, they'll do what people click on. So if I'm a negative news provider, well, I got a lot of incentive to do that because if I post that thing on, it's going to get a ton of traffic.
Right. And my advertising.
Yeah. My advertising rates go up. Like if that is really contentious, it works to my advantage. I don't think we're ever going to, as independent people, we're going to ever change the media's response to that. But I do think we can actually make it not profitable for them or less profitable to only do negative.
Mm-hmm.
If the positive aspect of it got more attention, I guarantee you there'd be a lot of publishers switching sides.
Right, right. They're following the money.
Yeah, they're following their check.
I have a question. You guys do a lot on Facebook, and I don't know if that's the only social media site you use, but you guys do a lot there. Do you find that good articles are not as seen by as many people because Facebook's algorithm's not putting it out there as much as a bad article? Is there that correlation or no?
I think it doesn't necessarily impact the quality of the article. Social media has for sure, over the last couple of years especially, been harder to utilize to the same impact, meaning when Facebook was first out there, I could go outside and take a picture of the sun today and be like, hey, it's nice to see Mr. Sun today, and get 20 likes on it. Like, you could do it sort of drunk and half asleep.
Yeah.
And get a response. Now the competition for those people's eyeballs is so intense that you have to have the best picture at the best time at the, you know, right urgency. You got to have a good caption. It's got to be tagged. Mm-hmm. So I think it makes it more challenging to get it to play. But the basic premise that a negative story will play better than a positive story is no doubt about it. It's 100% true. So if you're going to tell the positive story, you have to do it with a little bit more creativity. You got to do it with a little bit more emotion. You can't get any of the details wrong, because you inherently have a larger hurdle to overcome than otherwise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we basically, our dominant social network communication is Facebook, but then we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we're on TikTok. Essentially, wherever we feel like there's an audience that could connect to the main premise.
Mm-hmm.
No, that sounds great. You guys are even on TikTok. My goodness, you're everywhere.
That's for the Chinese viewers.
I like to remind our 25-year-old kids that work, our young people that work for us, that I've produced all the stuff that we have on TikTok. So every once in a while, they're like, what's this 58-year-old guy still hanging around here for? The guy, he knows nothing, this grandpa. And then I'll remind him, oh, yeah, well, I'm the one that runs our TikTok. So I guess the kids could get going with it.
So is that how you guys support? Was that your business model? You guys are sponsored, and that's where you guys generate your revenue? Oh, that's awesome.
We have no subscription costs, so readers could peruse all they want. All the pictures that we put up online, it's all free to view. We probably make a little bit of money, but it's actually quite little from photo sales.
Oh.
Because most people just screenshot them, share them, they do whatever they want with them. Mm-hmm. But the lion's share of the revenue comes from partners. So let's say it's a bank that wants to get the word out about what they're doing in the community. We produce a lot of content, so we'll write quite a bit of content or do videos or podcasts or other forms of digital content for a partner. So let's say somebody's going to have an event and they want pictures at the event. They want an article written about the event. They might want some promotion ahead of time for the event. And we'll do sort of a little bit of all of that. So our partners tends to be, you know, healthcare is a big market. Cities and towns and regions and communicate areas are a big market, but we do work from, you know, the RDA at maybe the most strategic level down to an individual restaurant like Blackbird here in Valpo. And it's a little bit different with each one of them, but yeah, that's the driving support.
Oh, not bad. So if there's anyone out there that wants it, how do they get a hold of you to say, hey, we've got this, we want to be a part of like what Blackbird's doing in other places?
They could just email partner team at greatnews.life, or they would call Jenny Craig Brown. She's got a very recognizable name. She's our
executive. Probably very skinny, isn't she?
Yeah, she's very fit. She works out all the time. She's our executive director. She's the one that actually runs it every day. She's the one that tries to continually keep me from running it every day.
You can go play golf today. Don't worry about it. It's nice out.
And I think it frustrates her. I'm not a golfer. I don't have any hobbies. This is 100% my hobby. So. But yeah, she runs it every day, and she could introduce anybody to, hey, we could help you with this event, mm-hmm. or we could help you ongoing. And we actually try, as strange as this sounds, we actually try to not go sell stuff, because if somebody, for example, if you had a pizza place and you said, hey, I want to get the best return on my dollars, and we use a lot of $5 off coupons for our pizza, I'd say, well, don't advertise with us. It's online. It's not really a good coupon redemption medium. And I think you could spend less dollars either on a Google ad or a little Valpak, whatever, local promotional thing. So it's not like we're a great answer for everybody. We're more oriented to people that want to tell more of a story than just run an ad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think marketing and communications can be done sometimes better in a storytelling format than in an ad format. But we're just trying to make sure that it's a good fit for whoever's using it.
That's good.
And I would ask, what is the main website? Just so the public knows, where would they go to?
Our overall company site is greatnews.life. And then that has links to all the individual sites. But the overall ones are Valpo Life and Portage Life in Porter County. Then LaPorte County Life serves LaPorte County, obviously. NWI Life focuses primarily on Lake County. And then we'll have Michiana to come this summer.
Good.
That's great.
But you could find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. We got email newsletters. Obviously, everything's on the site. It's all free, so there's no paywall. There's nothing you got to log in. We knew the threshold to make good news popular is a higher one to match. So we didn't want to have a subscription component out there that really discourages people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So everything that we offer is 100% free to the reader.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
Well, Andy, we got like 30 seconds.
Oh, well, have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining us, Chris. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you definitely got to come back. This is, there's still tons of more questions. Yeah. And
next time I'll be on time, and we probably have enough time to talk about everything. But thanks for having me. And again, I'll say, I love it that you got a Democrat and Republican making fun of each other, laughing with each other, and having a good time. Like, it shows we can all get along.
Absolutely. And this is WVLP 103.1 FM, Porter County Buzz. See you next week. Thanks.